Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? What are the differences in how people homeschool from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. With us today is Rachel from New Jersey. Rachel has two kids of her own that she homeschools, one that is 11 and another that's 4. And she also takes part in hosting classes for homeschooling students. So Rachel, welcome. And thank you for being here with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So why don't you start by telling us what got you into homeschooling?
So in 2018, my son was in public school. He had an IEP. He was in the special needs program. But he wasn't meeting his goals. And that was kind of frustrating. I'm a behavior therapist myself, so I kind of know how to get through to him. And I was giving the teachers advice on how to work with him, and it just wasn't seeming to help. He wasn't, like I said, he wasn't meeting his goals. And I was trying to make up for what he wasn't getting in school when he got home. And by then he was so tired and overstimulated and everything was a meltdown. And then he has trouble with transitions. So every time there would be a spring break or a holiday break or summer vacation and he's going back to school, it would take 2 months to get him back on track. Wow. And it was just, you know, a crazy cycle. So yeah. I said, you know what, we're taking you out. And by then, like, it was going downhill with some teachers. Students were not nice people. Let's put it that way. So I just figured he would be happier and safer at home. I pulled him out and he's been making so much progress. And through that, you know, we continued the cycle. It's been good.
And this is your 11-year-old, correct?
Yeah, this is my 11-year-old.
At that time, if this was 2018, he was like just starting out in school, right? Or he was in second grade?
Well, he actually was starting first grade. Okay. He started school at 3 years old. So he was in the early intervention program getting therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, developmental therapy, all the things. And then he transitioned to the preschool program, but he had the same teacher for 3 years. So he did really good with that. And once he had to transition to kindergarten, it was a big problem. We tried to stick it out because, you know, you think that's what we're supposed to do. You know, right. It's okay. Just go. It's fine. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And it just wasn't good. And then when he hit first grade, it just, we tried different different districts. So we moved twice and it just wasn't. Wow. It wasn't working. And I had a friend that homeschooled her kids. And at the time I was like, well, if she could do it, I could do it.
Right.
So this could work.
Yeah. I was going to ask what made it finally dawn on you to say, hey, let's try homeschooling. Had you had, other than that one friend, any experience with it? Any family that had ever done it?
So my husband left school and he was homeschooled for a little bit. And his siblings were pulled out of public school. So I didn't really know much about it. I knew it was like a thing that people did, but, you know, I didn't really know anything. And I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I've had that thought many times to myself.
Yeah. And, you know, you start off and you're like, okay, we have to stick to this routine and we got to do morning meeting and then we got to do math and social studies and then snack. And then it was crazy. I had it all planned out and it wasn't going. Planned because that's not what they're supposed to do. They're kids. They're supposed to play.
We pulled my son from daycare when he was 3 when they started masking, and I was like, okay, well, what do I have to start doing? Because they did a preschool curriculum with him in daycare, and you know, I bought the, I think it was Busy Toddler, and it's like a preschool program, which it was great, but It was so much planning to make sure that you got on the website to order the library books to make sure they were there on time and then make sure you have all the supplies. And I was also working from home full time. So to do all that, and then if he just wasn't into it because he's three, it was, I would get mad and I'd be like, no, we have to do this. See, this is why I could never homeschool you, because you're not listening to me. And
like, I'm the one in control. But then we have to learn to give up that control. This is their learning journey. It's not ours. We're just there to guide them.
And it's so funny because it's like we're so trained to be teachers in a school setting because that's all like we have experienced. So it's like training yourself to be a different kind of teacher too. And or, you know, not and even when, a teacher. Just,
Yeah. And when I pulled him out, I was pregnant with my little guy and we had just moved. So it was like a lot of things going on. And I was hormonal. I was like, you have to listen to me. And then I'm like, we need a nap.
Well, we worry about failing our kids. And, you know, did we do the right thing? Are they going to learn anything from us? But of course they do.
I think the biggest thing I learned, through all of this is you have to unschool yourself.
Yeah.
From the whole process. Unschooling is very important.
I know that's a big thing in the homeschool community, and I haven't entirely looked into all the aspects of unschooling. Is that what you do with your son?
So, no, but it's kind of just, we're not unschoolers per se, but we did have to take a couple months to kind of like feel each other out and know how our routines would be naturally. So just to get away from that, we have to do it this way because it's all we know, and just learning how to coexist daily with each other, because we're not used to that. You know, we're used to them going off and coming home for dinner.
Right.
So I say unschooling as like, we have to break away from that whole process of send your kid to school and they come home and you do dinner and bedtime and that's it. And then our preconceptions of, well, this is what school is supposed to be. So this is how it's supposed to be in my house. Cause it's not.
Right.
And like I said, just having a natural couple months to feel each other out and be like, okay, where is this going to go? What is going to be their learning journey? What is best for them? What is their feeding routine? Because that's important. If they're hungry, they're not going to listen. So you want to kind of figure out what your daily routine is aside from the learning, and then incorporate, if you're doing book work, start bringing that back in.
Yeah, that's great. It makes me think of the other day, my son, he's four. So he's in a preschool with 3 and 4 year olds right now. And it's 3 days a week, just 2.5 hours. And he told me yesterday that he didn't take part in the first part of playing because he was really thirsty. And I said, oh, well, did you ask the teacher for a drink? And he said, yeah, but she told me, no, I have to wait till snack time. Now,
why?
Normally that wouldn't have been a big deal, like in my previous life, you know, because I just, well, if you ask for a drink, everybody's going to want a drink.
Right.
But knowing what I know now, talking to all of these homeschoolers, it's like, why though? If he's thirsty.
Right. If you were thirsty, we would go get a drink.
Right. It's just because they want us to be rule followers and accept that now is not the time to drink. And I get it that if they took out juice or something, all the kids are going to want it. But he would have been fine with a Dixie cup of water, you know, if you brought him outside the room and give him, like, who's going to want the water anyways? Like, the kids are going to want to wait till juice time. So it's like, but, and then the best part is I used to send him with a water bottle and they told me to stop because I don't know if the water bottles have COVID germs on them that their backpacks don't have. I don't know. They're like, you have to leave the water bottles in the car. They can't bring them into preschool. So I'm just sitting there stewing over this, like, they're
can't
just
use
teaching
water fountains
you
either.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they have a water fountain because parents aren't allowed in the building. We have to drop them off at the front, and the teacher comes to the car and then brings them back when you pick them up. It's crazy. But it's so funny about this whole, like, school is just so, like, learning to take orders and not questioning it. Authority. Yeah. Like,
follow directions, and that's it. Like, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And that was one of my problems. So I didn't really go into it before, but when I finally decided, all right, school is done. We're done with this. My son, my 11-year-old at the time in kindergarten, first grade, had to go to the bathroom. And like I said, he's special needs. He has a muscle condition. He has weak muscles, whatever. He sometimes soils his pants. But he had, during recess, he said, I have to go to the bathroom. And they told him he had to wait. So he had an accident. So all the kids made fun of him. Aww. And I was like, that's unacceptable. You yeah. have two teachers in that classroom plus four aides. Nobody could take him to the bathroom.
That's crazy.
Nobody had to wait. So I was, you know, no, it's not okay. And he was scarred. He was, I'm it sure. was not okay. So
how does he like being homeschooled? How have you seen any changes in his personality?
He is so happy. Like, yeah, you know, sometimes we fight. We're coexisting 24/7, always. Right. Sometimes, you know, Aiden, we kind of have to do this right now because we have to leave in a little bit. So there's battles here and there. But for the most part, he has grown so much. He is the kind of kid, when he was really young, he didn't walk until he was 3 and a half. He didn't talk until he was 4. His doctors, when he was around 2, said he may never walk or talk. And I was like, that's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
I challenge you.
Wow. And you did.
And now, yeah, he can shower by himself. He does the dishes. He helps me with the laundry. And like, those self-help skills are so important. He can make a meal. He's learning how to cook on the stove, but he can make a sandwich by himself. He can open a can. He can put like a soup in the microwave. That's huge. I mean, there's 11-year-olds that can't do that.
And I know 30-year-olds that can't do that.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Even if sometimes the book work is hard for him with his attention span and everything, sometimes I'm like, you know what? Okay, let's not read today. Let's go cook. Let's go do something else that's going to be more productive for you. And it just, it's been working so much better than his school wanted him to. He has trouble identifying symbols, and numbers and letters are symbols. So he doesn't yet read. He can kind of sound out words slowly, simple CVC words. But, you know, I'm not going to push reading. And his school was pushing that. And they only mm-hmm. were pushing reading and writing. And I was like, but what about the other stuff? What about learning about the world around him? What about the weather? What about science? What about music? And they were like, no, well, this is like, really, this is his goal. He needs to read and write. And I was like, why?
Why? Yeah, why at this age? Just, you know.
Yeah. Like, it's not working for him. So adjust his plan. It's not working.
Was he in a mainstream classroom, or did he have any sort mm-hmm. of special teachers to assist him?
He didn't have a one-on-one assistant because I guess they didn't have enough staff. I don't know. I think 6 teachers in a room with 8 kids is enough staff, but
right.
He didn't have a one-on-one assistant, and he's attention seeking. So, you know, when he didn't have attention from somebody else, he's like pushing over chairs, but he's like the class clown attention seeker. He mm-hmm. was like licking people, or like, you know, ripping up paper and throwing it as confetti. They don't like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can understand, but if you don't mind it, then homeschool is a perfect place for him. Well, you understand that's how he's getting out his emotions.
He gets sensory overloaded, and then mm-hmm. he wants that one-on-one, and it's just, you know.
What things have you done for him at home that you have seen help him when he's in those sort of moods or frustrations?
I think taking him out of the environment he's currently in, removing him and bringing him to a safe space like his bed, his room, a swing, somewhere outside. He loves the sandbox. Just removing him and being like, okay, you need to go calm down. Mm-hmm. That has been really helpful. And that's something like they can't really do in school. Like, yeah, they have the corners, they have the calming corners, they have bean bags, but he's still around the same kids, the same teachers. He's still in the same class. So he's still triggered by what's going on. Right. So it's very like, all right,
it's not a safe space. Yeah. It's just a different space.
Right, a different
space. 5 feet away.
So it's like, all right, you need to go calm down. Like, go lay down, go play in sand, go do something. And normally, like, the transition's hard. And he's like, I don't want to. So I'll walk him over. It's okay. Like, just calm down. You're fine. And then he will, yeah, and we'll talk about it.
That, I'm sure, is doing wonders for him. A whole experience that he would not have had in the school system. I mean, maybe there are certain schools that specialize in this and it's offered somewhere, but I know the majority.
There are, but it's hard to get to.
Yeah, hard to get to and get into.
Yeah, and even when you can, he can get bused to one. It's 40 minutes away, and that's not ideal.
He's so then what's that going to do for him? A whole 40-minute bus ride there and 40 minutes back home. That's going to stress him out as it is. So yeah. How has it worked now? You have a 4-year-old, so you're getting into the homeschooling for both of them now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now I have the baby. And that was hard. We took time off of school because it was a lot. My postpartum wasn't that great. And you know what? That's okay. We were still playing. We played with magnet tiles. We counted them. We talked about colors. We played with Legos. We followed directions and patterns and Legos. I mean, we did school through that kind of play. Mm-hmm. It wasn't book work, which is fine. He was still picking up things and learning, and we would count and group and all the things. And then I started a YouTube channel, and then it was too much to edit, so I stopped.
Editing is the big... That's the big task. I have learned this.
Woo, it took me all night, every night. I wasn't sleeping. So I was like, all right, this is not. And it was basically, I was trying to take, because I'm a developmental therapist, mm-hmm. I was trying to take the strategies that I was using for homeschool mm-hmm. and share that with other people. But it was a lot of work. So I was like, all right, how can I help my kids locally? And then bring in other homeschool kids. And that's when we started pioneering kids. But
so that is how you turned your YouTube channel into now what you do with your community of homeschoolers, as you hold different gatherings where you actually teach the kids in your community, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
So when I had pulled him out and I had the baby and I was feeling, you know, hopeless, all alone. I'm the only one that does this. I must be crazy. You know, you don't have that community yet. I had researched homeschoolers on Facebook. Anyone that was local, I sent them a private message. I was like, hey, I homeschool. Let's get together. Stalked nice. People. Some people didn't answer, and that's fine. Some people did.
There you go.
And I ended up getting together with this woman who actually was only a few blocks away from me. I would have had no idea. And she homeschooled her 6 children that she fostered and adopted. And they all have kind of trauma-based emotional issues from the whole process of going through foster care and adoption and all the things. And I had Aiden, who was special needs, and a newborn baby. And trying to go to like homeschool groups with a newborn baby with your special needs kid wasn't ideal. We weren't really accepted. It was kind of like, I don't know how to explain it in a nice way.
You felt a little pushed out.
Yeah. You know, because there's cliques and the age groups want to be together. And even though Aiden was 7 or 8, he's cognitively 5. So he's playing with the younger kids, but the parents are like, well, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes, you know, and then Jacob's running around and now he's turning like 1 or 2 and he's off. So I'm chasing him, but Aiden's over in that direction. And now everyone thinks I'm crazy. So I was like, oh man, I don't know about this, bringing a special needs kid into these regular, play groups. This is not okay.
I'm sure there's ones that would be a good fit, but it's probably not going to be the first or second one you try. It's probably going to be an you know, something you have to avidly seek out.
So I kept messaging people, and like I said, I found this woman who had her 6 kids that were all going through emotional things, and I was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool if we had a homeschool group where like everyone belonged. It was all ages, because, you know, I don't know if you've looked into homeschool groups. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, ages 8 to 12 or like ages 4 to 6. And you're like, all right, well, I have multiple kids. I'm sure other homeschools do. How do we do this? Like, I don't understand how I bring my kid here and then not my other kid. Like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't understand. So there was that struggle. So we had talked about for a long time, how do we make a group where all the kids fit, special needs, regular kids, they all kind of work together, all ages, just a community-based kind of program where these kids can learn together and help each other and learn from each other.
Yeah.
Because there's kids that have skills that can share those skills with others. And, you know, the little ones are always picking up from the older ones because they want to be just like them, you know?
Right.
Yep. So we had gotten together and planned some stuff out and registered Pioneering Kids and became a legal entity. It was mind blowing. I was like, oh my gosh, we're doing this. This is real.
Oh, that's amazing.
We have this real thing. So we had marketed it on Facebook and we started down in South Jersey where I lived a few years back. And then we started getting families from different counties. People were driving an hour and a half away because of all the homeschool groups they went to, they felt home at ours.
Oh, isn't that so sweet to
like
hear?
Like that, yeah, that means something, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how we started.
So what do you hold there? What do you do?
So we had started with like simple play groups with some crafts, you know, just throw some stuff together and let the kids play together and do a craft. And then we started adding like science theories to it. Remember this one time I brought a bunch of hangers and I was like, guys, we're going to make scales. We're going to weigh rocks. And everyone was so excited. So we did.
Like
we tied little cups to the hangers and we weighed the rocks and saw which was heavier and lighter. And we just met at different parks because we can't afford to rent a space.
Yeah.
So we would lug all our materials to different parks. And, you know, it was really cool to see the families come out. And every single time, the moms and dads at the end, thank you so much for doing this. Like, my kid is really, really excited to be here.
Oh.
That's all what it's all about.
It is. Because when you think about the alternative, them being, you know, in the school institution all day and you're not witnessing the connections that he's making or the lack of connections that he isn't making that you wish he were. And now you get to see it firsthand. And like, that's part of life. That's like part of being a mom and a dad and, you know, just seeing this little being that you created develop.
It's beautiful. It really is. And to watch, like, as we progressed and as we, you know, had more families coming out, our lessons became more intricate, more planned. So we do some art lessons right now. And we learn about art history, art theory. I do step-by-step artwork, and there's always like a simple one for the younger kids, but then you could make it more intricate and add details. And it's always open-ended to make it your own. And then we do science. So we were doing last year, which I'm actually doing again next week, we made these little rainbow.
It looks like a dream catcher.
A sun catcher. That's the word.
Okay.
The rainbow sun catchers. So the kids were learning about how the light reflects off the glass and creates rainbows.
Refraction. I know that from Blue's Clues. I think I learned more. Learn more on my son's TV shows. I did in my public school career.
We had kids anywhere from 1 to 13 in this class, and they all had a blast. They worked together and they all learned it. And it's beautiful to see 3-year-old being like, oh yeah, that's reflecting. And that's reflecting. And it's, you know, like,
I want to do these activities. I think I'm going to look these up and do them with my son this week. That sounds so cool.
Now, and it's fun.
So how many years have you been doing this?
So after I pulled Aiden out in 2018, we kind of started up classes in 2019.
Okay, so about four years now.
The first classes were like just meetups, kind of feeling out what was needed. And then, you know, it got more serious.
And do you solely do all the preparation for it?
Yeah.
This is your baby. This is your project.
It's my baby. I have a business partner. I don't want to leave her out. Patty Lewis. She's amazing. She's running the show down in South Jersey. So unfortunately, after kind of the end of COVID and a lot of stuff was going on, my father's getting ready to sell his house and move to Florida, which is far. But he gave us the opportunity to sell our house and move up here, which is closer to family. So we kind of took that opportunity. So we sold our house. We moved up to North Jersey. Well, not Central Jersey, in Monmouth County. So we kind of expanded Pioneering Kids from down in South Jersey. And I brought it up here. And I just started up here in August.
So how has that been going?
Woo! It's going.
Did you find a lot of homeschoolers that are interested?
It took a little bit. Like we're still new. We're still a baby up here. Patty's doing a great job down there, and all the community that we had going. We have like, I want to say maybe 30 families involved that come.
Wow.
And the way our programs work is you're not committed to fully come to everything. Like, it's not like an enrollment where you have to pay an annual membership and you're required to come to every class. That's not realistic for homeschoolers. You know, we're all like flying by the edge of our seat. Who knows what tomorrow's going to bring? So we do like you pay per class. If you want to come, you come. If you don't, you don't. So we have like 30 families that come and go and they pick classes, and it's always a pretty good group. And there's like hundreds of people in our Facebook. I don't know. I guess the word got out fast. I don't know. But
that is fantastic. And I'm looking at this from a standpoint of there might be other parents that want to start something like this. And yeah, it seems so doable. That. Where do you even find the ideas for the projects?
A lot of research.
Yeah.
A lot of research.
So you went from editing YouTube videos to researching projects to do face-to-face.
The fun part is I really love math, science, and art. So that's why a lot of our classes are math, science, and art based. Whereas Patty likes to do a lot of crafts, and she has some other moms down there helping her. So there's a couple moms that are reaching out to others, and they're doing like Spanish classes, Spanish enrichment. They're doing cooking classes. They just had a cupcake wars at one of the churches. So it was pretty cool.
That is adorable.
Yeah, we go to a lot of she schedules a lot of the trips. I haven't been able to do that up here yet because we're still starting up. But we took trips to battleships and, you know, nature preserves. And it's always so cool to explore around you with a homeschool group, you know. And up here, it's like I said, we're still a baby. I have probably about 8 families that have committed to coming to classes here and there, but it's hard with the winter now that we're coming out of winter time.
Oh yeah. You're in the Northeast like I am, and
it's cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want to go out in the cold. I don't want to go out in the cold.
Well, and especially when you have multiple kids, like even today for us, I mean, my son had preschool in the morning, but then we went to a homeschool play group after that. Mm-hmm. And I have a 6-month old, and it's so funny. Yeah, it's out in the woods. It's called Nature Bound. So we're like, you have to walk across this little stream mm-hmm. on a log. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not from the country. And I have the baby strapped on the front of me. And
yep.
I'm just like, oh my goodness, if I fall. I mean, it's not like we're going to get like, you know,
no, drown but it's
or
cold.
Anything. It's cold though. And I'm probably going to break a hip.
Yeah. But, that's like a lot of our classes when we can, like I have one of those, you know, big party tent. There's windows. We like natural light. We like all the things. I heat it up when it's cold, but there's only so much heat that an electric heater could produce compared to the 20-degree weather. So a lot of our classes are outside, you know, and that's waiting for the beautiful weather so we can do our picnic lunches and our read alouds.
Yes, it's around the corner. But, hold tight. We have daylight savings next week, but by the time this comes out, it'll probably be like 90 degrees out and we'll be like, why is it so hot?
But, but that's okay.
Because editing takes so long, guys. She wasn't kidding. Okay, so you hold these classes. Are they weekly?
Yeah. So Monday mornings, I do an art class for an hour and a half. And then after art, I do a science class, which kind of piggybacks off the art. So today for art, we learned about the history of optical illusions. And then we made our own optical illusions, which was pretty cool. And then for science, we learned about how the eyes work. We learned about the parts of the eye, how it reflects, and then how the eye sends messages to the brain and we perceive it. And then we have blind spots and sometimes we perceive things that aren't there, or we continue to see things after seeing things, like the after effects. And then we watched a video about optical illusions and we just...
That sounds amazing. I want to know. I wish I was there.
So it was fun. And then after that, we have a homeschool hangout for 2 hours and everyone brings their lunch and the kids just run around the yard and play. There's a sandbox, a trampoline. We have a humongous treehouse, you know, Nerf guns, whatever they want to do. They always all play together. It's so cool how today we had anywhere from ages two to 14. And they're all running around the yard playing games together. It's not like, oh no, you're too young, go away. Yeah. Or like, you know, they all work together. They help each other when the little ones are having trouble, or like, you know, sometimes incidents happen. They miscommunicate, don't understand each other. The older ones are coming over to tell the adults and defend the little ones. And they're always working together and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So
I see that too in the groups that I belong to. You know, mostly it's really sweet. Even with siblings being there, they kind of take on a different role. I don't know. It's just,
yeah. It's, and nice. They're,
I mean, not saying not all the time. I mean, they are still kids.
They're still learning, but they're learning how to be caretakers. They're learning how to use the proper communication to solve problems, which they don't get to do in school. Because it kind of always gets interfered with an adult and like, you better stop doing that. Like, right. Let them work it out. They can do it. It's okay.
Yeah, I was talking with someone about that. And there is a fine line. It's like, you don't want to intervene too much because you definitely want them to know. But then there are the parents that are like, we just let them do whatever they want. I'm like, well, they're beating someone with a stick. I mean, we should step in. But
yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, safety is first.
is beautiful. First. And when you think about how the workforce is, you know, when you're older, you are there with all different ages. So it is kind of funny that, you know, for school age, it's, you know, you're always with peers your own age. So it is a nice element that, you know, the homeschool community brings.
How to work together.
The optical. So I don't think I learned any of that in school, but I don't want to like put down my public school that much. I mean, it could have happened and I just didn't pay attention. However it happened, it didn't impact me at all. And I want to learn it now. So I'm going to look into this optical illusion stuff. Go ahead.
It's cool. Funny enough, this was stuff that I learned in my sensory and perception class in college.
In college, yeah.
And my 3-year-old took it on and was like, this is cool.
It is, and it just gives them like a thirst for learning.
Young, yeah, why shouldn't we be exposing them to these things? Like, you know,
there's
fun
so
stuff.
Many interesting things out there that they just never touched on in school, or if they did, they found literally the most boring way to, like,
right,
Incas, like, Aztecs and Mayans,
this, like, video with this monotone guy, but don't fall asleep.
I bet you the story of the Incas and Mayans, I bet that's really interesting, but they just found the
really
worst
cool.
way to bring it about. Yeah. And I was just like, oh my gosh, tear my eyes out.
So
when you can find these fun ways to get them excited, I mean, it gets me excited to do it.
Last year we took our kids when we lived down by the river. There's lots of sea glass and driftwood and stuff.
Was it
there.
In a van? Did you live in a van by the river?
I did not live in a van.
Oh, man. Okay.
But I do have a conversion van with a bed in it. So there's that.
That's great. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. You were living by
the way. So last year, like around Thanksgiving, we learned about, you know, the Indians and the natives here. And my husband, funny enough, his family is from an Indian tribe. So it always kind of like, you know, gets me going. Like, let's learn about this.
Yeah.
I took the kids down by the river. We collected sea glass and driftwood, and we made arrows. So we used the driftwood and we used twine, and we strung the pointy sea glass to the driftwood, and we made arrows like they would have made to spear fish.
Wow.
And we used feathers on the back. So for bows and arrows, they had the mm-hmm. feathers for the air, you know, to keep it balanced and going forward. We learned about all of that. And it's just really cool to be able to take that and apply it to real life. And
yes.
like, hey, let's learn about this in a cool way. Not like, hey, here's this boring book. I'm going to read it to you. Sorry yes. if you don't like
it. When you put it in context, it like clicks in the brain why I need to know this.
Yeah. And then we made pottery. We learned about the Mayans and we made the pottery. And it was just, you know, it's just much more effective. And they're like, yeah. oh, wow, they really did this? I'm like, yeah, really, they did, like with their hands.
So I'm hearing you say all this, and this is what my mind is doing, because I haven't fully committed to I'm going to quit my job and homeschool my kids. I'm on this journey to find out if that's what I should
work.
Do.
And I still work.
You still work? Well, it sounds like you got a full-time job with creating all of these classes and projects, but it's like you have to, it seems like you really have to have a love of like the art and the research and the craftiness. And like, there's like, I go on Pinterest and I get confused and I, why can't I read the article? It's like, you know, or,
yeah, like, it sounds away, like,
I'm what? Just, I don't have that knack. And most of the homeschooling moms seem so clever and crafty. And I'm just like, I don't know if I can handle that. So
no,
were you always this way? Or did this come naturally when you got context for it in your life for why you need to be?
I was. So my backstory, I went to school, obviously. I was bullied in school. And I was very quiet in school. And art was my outlet. So I was always crafting or like finding a way to create things. I at a young age, I was like using power tools to make wagons. I don't know.
That's awesome.
But I also always wanted to know, like, how does that work? Why does it do that? I was always asking questions. And, you know, teachers don't like that. Like, why are you asking this question? Just do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wanted to know more and more and more. And even now, like if I could go back to school, if I had the time, I would. So I just find that that drives me to make these lessons. Because if I want to know why wouldn't the kids want to know why, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to be that way. I mean, you're going to know your kid better than anyone else. And your kid is your mini you, you know? So mm-hmm. take what you have from experience and just be natural. And your kid is going to enjoy that just as much. So my kids are hands-on crafters because that's what they know, because I'm always doing it in front of them.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to be, no.
And if you're not, then I guess you just find a group that meets with someone like you that coordinates it.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's kids that are very into technology. I know nothing about computers. Bless your soul. Nothing about it. It took me months to figure out how to even open a YouTube account.
Yeah.
Edit videos was, but I just wanted to help people, you know? And then at some point it was just like, this is too much. But, you know, there's kids that go in that route. There's kids that love reading books. There's kids that, you know, and you're only going to know your kid. And that's the beauty of homeschooling. Like, you can follow their passion along with your passion and meet each other and build with each other.
That's really beautiful. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure that you got in while we have you here? And we can always have you back. But I definitely want you to say that the name of your group again.
Pioneering Kids Incorporated. We have two Facebook groups. So there's a Pioneering Kids South Jersey, and then there's a Monmouth Pioneering Kids, which is Central Jersey. So a lot of our members belong to both. We do meetups in the middle of Jersey, in between both locations, because they're an hour and a half, 2 hours away from each other. And, you know, there's a lot of field trip opportunities to meet new families, and that's great. And some of the classes you pay for, and some of them are free. Like I said, we have the homeschool hangout from 12 to 2 on Mondays, and anyone comes out, it's all ages. And I didn't get to talk about Thursdays. Thursday morning, we do like a Bible study, and then we do a women's fellowship just to, like, you know, encourage each other. There's not a lot of places where women can just be with each other and lift each other up. I feel like everything's so competitive. It doesn't have to be. We're all in this together. So we do a women's fellowship just to help each other. And
that's through your group organization too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
And the children are welcome to play in the yard while you get to hang out with women and have coffee or tea or whatever, you know? And it's, like I said, it's community based. So there's always an eye on the kids. So you don't have to worry about, oh no, what is my kid doing? You know, are they okay? And you're there with them too. So it's great. And then after that, we do a lunch and literature. So, you know, pack your picnic lunch, you bring a towel or blanket, you come out, I read a story out loud, and then we do a craft. And for the older ones, we talk about, you know, character, setting, plot. We build characters. We talk about all kinds of things surrounding the book. So like I said, it's really, it's so beautiful that it's all ages. And like the little ones are sitting there coloring, cutting and pasting. And the older ones are like creating their own story from the story they just read. It's really cool. And then Friday, I do like a sensory and social play. So we'll do like social games, like the parachute, shaving cream play, like all that sensory stuff that the kids need, the Play-Doh, mud pies, whatever. It's all there.
That is definitely a full-time job for you. Wow.
Yeah. But it's a job anyway for my kids. So I was like, I'm doing this anyway. So I just want to invite everyone else to come too.
Oh, that is amazing. I mean, this sounds like something every community needs.
So our big goal or big dream is to like become a we don't want to like be a franchise in the sense that it is, but like we want this to be accessible to everybody at some point. We're still in the baby stages, but
right, like if there were groups already established and then you kind of lead them on this is the projects you'll be doing at, you know,
share the curriculum,
science, art, and math, and because that's probably where people struggle and don't have the time. Like, I know a ton of homeschoolers. I think I know more homeschooling families in my area now than I know in kids in public school.
That's awesome.
Or private school. I'm like, where have you all been hiding? Like, you've all been here? You've all lived here this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. That's crazy. Yeah, put out the bat signal and they all just come running over. It's so cool. Yeah. But to have something structured like that, like I would just never, I don't know that I have the creative side to be like, let's do optical illusions. Like I might think of it and then like my brain would go elsewhere and I'd be like, that sounds too hard.
One of the moms was telling me this morning, actually, after our class, she was like, thank goodness that you do this, because I don't have the energy to put these lessons together.
100%. She is right. Well, if you ever want to franchise it out, I'll grab one. I'll lead them here.
Me too.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us today. I know before I hit roll, you had said, oh, I don't know what we'll actually talk about for 45 whole minutes, but it has flown by and this has been such an amazing conversation. Rachel, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you'll come back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I hope you'll come back, and I will link your organization in the show's description so people can check it out, and also your Facebook page. All right, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please consider helping me out by sharing this podcast with friends, with your homeschool community, and even to your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. As a new podcast, we're really trying to get our episodes out there so that we can keep going. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and tell us about your homeschooling experience, email me at thehomeschoolhowto@gmail.com or visit thehomeschoolhowto.com and send me a message through Facebook or Instagram. Thank you for your time and for your love of the next generation. We'll see you next week.